Bulldog Live continues here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077. Brian at BrianTilton.com is our email address. You can listen online at WTPLFM.com as well. As I've been saying for quite some time now, this is a busy month on the Northern Pass front, and next week is when all that activity comes to a peak as far as the people's ability to address the federal government about their views on the proposed Northern Pass project and their presidential permit application, as well as the environmental impact statement, that a lot of the issues that they're going to be looking at. And to talk all about that right now is Jack Savage, who is with the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests. And Jack, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Brian. How you doing?
Doing okay. I'll be glad when this week is over.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm excited about is how about those Red Sox? Yeah, into the postseason after a disastrous year last year, and have the potential of clinch the division.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. That's great. We got to get that done this weekend, and then we can focus on some DOE hearings.
And just so that our listeners know, that broadcasting from Fenway Park today is Bob Littman and Bob Lobel. They'll be there all afternoon today, beginning at 1 o'clock right here on the Pulse.
You know what's ironic? They're playing Toronto tonight, right? Blue Jays?
I think so. I don't have my sheet in front of me.
So before the season, everybody was projecting that the Blue Jays would win the division easily because of all those big-dollar players they brought in. Uh-huh. Instead, we took their manager, Farrell, and now it looks like we might win. Listen to me. We might win the division. It's all good stuff.
It is.
So, with all the bad news in D.C. and elsewhere around, there's good things to focus on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that, and I was kind of reinforcing that to a friend of mine last night as well. I was like, you know, there's still a lot of good things to look at. It's the smaller things,
right.
The smaller good things that are going on in the world. Let that shine a little bit. So
yeah, and I bet it's a glorious day up in the White Mountains today for anybody who's hiking up
there.
Oh
my gosh! And yesterday, it was just great to hear on the way home yesterday, WMUR News, when the weather forecast came on, and they said there isn't a cloud in the state. So from Pittsburgh to Salem, it was just perfect sunny skies and big repeat today as well.
Right.
So.
So, but you didn't bring me in here to talk about that, did you?
No. But I appreciate it, though.
Right.
What do we have going on next week that
our
listeners need
week,
to know?
Yeah, there's going to be four hearings. These are public hearings put on by the Department of Energy. That's the Federal Department of Energy. And their purpose is to get public comment and input on what the scope of an environmental impact statement should be. An environmental impact statement is a study of the likely impacts of a proposed development, in this case, Northern Pass, more than 1,500 towers, 187 miles, a little tiny, tiny, tiny section of it buried through two parts of the White Mountains, et cetera. And so the DOE comes, as they did a couple of years ago, and sets up shop and listens to people 3 minutes at a time say what we think, we being the people of New Hampshire, that environmental impact statement ought to include what sorts of impacts should be studied. They will take that information and we hope will actually listen to some of us and proceed with that. It's important to understand that although it's called an EIS or environmental impact study, it's really rather broad. It includes socioeconomic factors. So
that's an important thing.
It is very important. So it has to do with your property values and the economy and other sort of broad impacts that if you think it will have negative or positive impacts, you're encouraged to go and ask for what should be an unbiased study of those likely impacts.
Yeah, and because you can study the wetlands, you can study the impact on conservation lands, the view sheds, you know, again, the socioeconomic impacts as well, the tourism industry. Maybe you're in the real estate business and you've already had, real estate deals just either not happen or terribly delayed and coming at a low price.
I just talked to a guy this morning who's had his house on the market for 2.5 years. And it's been months and months since he even had a nibble. And so it's clearly having an impact. Even the idea of these towers up to 150 feet high being in people's backyards is having a negative impact on local real estate. Now, from the Forest Society's standpoint, one of the key things that we think is missing in the applicant's proposal to the DOE is any mention of viable alternatives. And they are required to put down other ways that the same objectives could be accomplished. And so we feel it's very important that the EIS include a study of those viable alternatives. One of those is the so-called no-build option. What happens if Northern Pass is never built? And you go through and study and determine whether or not there are any negative impacts from it not being built or a lack of positive impacts. And we're not completely convinced that studying the no-build option might suggest that really we'd all be better off without it. Failing that, the other alternative that we think is negligently missing is taking a look at what it would take to bury a transmission line, preferably along transportation corridors.
Mm-hmm.
The technology is there. It's really a function of cost. And given that Hydro-Québec is the company that's paying for this construction, and it's their line to be used exclusively by them so they can export energy to southern New England so they can get paid our dollars for that energy, it seems only reasonable to say, well, if you want it, you need to bury it.
Yep. And that is something that State Representative Larry Rappaport talked to us last night about. In fact, they're going to have a committee meeting on Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock. I believe it was room 304 in the Legislative Office Building. And there they're going to be looking at maps as to where these routes are. Do they all connect? The abandoned rail lines that the state has in fee simple, which means they have complete ownership rights, that they have the ability to do easements on that, as well as the interstate corridors and so on. So that is something that people could be bringing up at the DOE as well, to have them look at a viable alternative. Because unfortunately, as you said, Northern Pass has not put up any alternatives. They have one line on a map that they insist on their rights of way, and including the right of way that is by permission only through the White Mountain National Forest. They don't own that. We do. They're just given a special use permit to go through the White Mountain National Forest. But even so, there's no alternative around the White Mountain National Forest, according to Northern Pass.
Well, there used to be. If you remember from their first proposal, they had a loop. I think. It has to be the case that they have some idea in mind, given the steep hill they have to climb in order to get what amounts to two special use permits, since they're now proposing to go through two different sections of the White Mountain National Forest. I should point out, too, that there are other parts of their proposed route that they do not have legal access to, including a section of our Washburn Family Forest up in Clarksville. So that's another issue that's out there. You know, it's all well and good if the DOE offers them a presidential permit to cross the Canadian border, but we think we've got them stopped shortly after the Canadian border.
Mm-hmm. As soon as they come out of Pittsburgh, right there, first roadblock. That's roadblock number one. There's potentially three roadblocks on the way here.
It all points out to a proposal that is deeply, deeply flawed in our view. And while there may be some reason in the future to have Hydro-Québec, allow Hydro-Québec to export more energy to New England, it ought to be done the right way. And you know what we were calling, some of your listeners may have seen an op-ed that Jane Diffley, our President Forrester, and Carolyn Benthian, the chair of our Board of Trustees, penned in the Union Leader this morning. And talked about, you know, really New Hampshire, it's time for New Hampshire to take control of its own destiny here. I don't think anybody doesn't cherish the White Mountains, doesn't cherish our scenic landscape. Some are more willing to sacrifice those for perceived benefits than others, but I don't think anybody doesn't cherish those. And so if we want to protect those and keep them and use that as part of our economic engine, as part of our quality of life, it's time for us to take control of this process, not allow Hydro-Québec to dictate to us how things in our state are going to be built, not allow Connecticut-based Northeast Utilities tell us what's good for New Hampshire, but instead make the right thing easy. And it's time for our state leaders to step up and do exactly that by pursuing whatever legislation is necessary in order to create an underground corridor along our transportation, state highways and state rail corridors, so that transmission developers can make use of them. There's also the added benefit that the state could lease those corridors, mm-hmm. And derive some revenue, which is, you know,
many clamor for that revenue. Yep,
we were looking at licensing a casino for $80 million, and many were disappointed that didn't occur. Others objected to it, but nobody didn't want the $80 million.
Right.
So here's a way that the state can go forward and derive some revenue, have something done the right way, and to the extent that there may be some benefits of allowing Hydro-Québec to export this power, that's a way to make it happen.
Not that you guys are against importing the power. You're against the current methodology that they're proposing to do so.
That's right. That's the position of the Board of Trustees of the Society of Protection of New Hampshire Forests. So we were initially simply said that we were opposed to the project as proposed, allowing for some other way for it to occur. We've gone a bit further now, as reflected in the op-ed in today's paper, saying that really it's time for us, if it's going to be built, it needs to be buried. Mm-hmm. And we don't think sort of 19th century overhead towers are the way to go. For a variety of reasons, and we're encouraging our state leaders to take a hold of this thing and make it happen right.
All right, Jack Savage from the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forest joining us here on Bulldog Live. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll tell you where the scoping meetings are going to be, what the Forest Society plans on presenting at these scoping hearings that'll begin Monday in Concord. We'll give you the time and location, as well as that of other locations throughout the state next week as Bulldog Live continues on The Pulse.